Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and the Missouri Football Report, which is presented by Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, Hair Saloon for Men, Schnucks, and Ryan Kelly. In just a moment, we'll talk it over with Mike Kelly, the voice of the Missouri Tigers. It is homecoming weekend, Mizzou and Memphis. Hair Saloon, founded in 1997, right here in St. Louis. I go there, bring both my boys there. Hair Saloon keeps client notes on each customer, so with each visit, you can be assured that they know what you want, and they'll do that in the privacy of your own cutting station. Those services include, for just $22, haircut, complimentary beverage, my kids love that, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, and a complimentary shoe shine. Again, all for just $22. For an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage or neck shave, and that's at Hair Saloon for Men. Don't overlook Memphis, and in particular, their offense. They have been among the nation's best. They're ninth in scoring at 44 points per game, fifth in rushing. They may have the best tailback in the game, but they're rushing nearly 300 yards per game and number seven in total offense. So Memphis comes in. They are talented in terms of the series history. Mizzou leads the all-time series 2-1. They had victories in 1991, again in 1999, and the loss came at home in 1996, and that was the first game under the newly installed lights at Memorial Stadium. Memphis won that ball game 19-16. In just a moment, we hear from Mike Kelly. Want to remind you, you can catch all the Missouri games at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill this football season. Don't miss a second of the action. Watch the Tigers on Hotshot's dozens of TVs. You'll get great food and drink specials during every game. That includes Truman Nachos, the MIZ Burger, and Tiger-style fries, along with awesome game day deals on Bud Family Buckets, specialty cocktails. So get more information on the party. Find a Hotshots near you at hotshotsnet.com. Hotshots, proud home of sports fans and Missouri fans. All the games, all the time, since 1990. We visit with the voice of the Tigers, Mike Kelly, coming up.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
We are coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on Scoops with DannyMac.com, and our chance, as always, to visit with the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Missouri Tigers, Mike Kelly. It's homecoming this weekend for Mizzou. They'll take on Memphis. Mike, before we jump into homecoming, let's go back to last week. What stood out about the game against Alabama?
Well, Alabama's really good, as we knew, and they take advantage of every mistake that you make and have the ability to exploit mistakes that you make. You know, they came at Missouri firing out of the gates with a touchdown pass, 81-yard pass on their second play from scrimmage, intercepted Drew Lock on his first pass of the evening, kicked the field goal, and before you could blink, it was 10-0. But I really thought Missouri did a good job at that point of settling in. You know, got it to 13-10 in the second quarter on a Drew Lock touchdown pass to Jalen Knox, in which, you know, he really showed a lot of poise. Did a lock as the quarterback, had a lot of time in the pocket. He was able to direct traffic with his free hand and get Jalen Knox to the back of the end zone and then threw a strike. And that's the type of throw that, you know, I know has people at the next level very excited. But, you know, then the next thing you know, Alabama scores 26 unanswered and it's 39-10. You know, you can look at it a couple of ways and say, well, Missouri held Alabama to not as many points as others had been scoring. I mean, they've been averaging 56 points per game. But I think the other thing you have to look at is that Tua Tagovailoa didn't play the majority of the second half. And I really believe that Nick Saban basically felt comfortable and just said, okay, let's play ball control and get out of here with a homecoming victory. And that's what they did. So Missouri did get a takeaway. That was good. They forced the fumble of Tua in the first half and was able to recover. But Drew Lock threw two interceptions and only one touchdown. So, I thought Missouri did a pretty good job in run defense, but didn't do a very good job in terms of the overall execution on the offensive side.
Well, I look at this weekend as a critical game for Missouri in terms of their bowl hopes and the way that the season has unfolded in the SEC. The schedule is not easy. Memphis coming off a very tough loss at home and a game that they could have won. But this is a critical point in the season for Barry Odom and the Tigers this weekend.
And it's the same juncture in the season a year ago when Missouri got rolling. And the Tigers, went to UConn. They blew out a team from the American. Memphis is from the American. Don't have to go on the road. They're coming to your place. It's homecoming in Columbia. I agree with you, Dan. This is a game that Missouri cannot lose. I mean, if you lose it, then really it impacts you on multiple levels. And so, at the end of the day, they've got to come out and they've got to play well. And they're going to be without Emmanuel Hall. He's missed the last three games with a groin injury. And then it was a week ago today. It was a week ago that his father died. And so he's been, with family, has been away from campus, will not be available to Missouri this week. But Barry Odom said earlier this week that that he would be back next week when Missouri hosts Kentucky. They think that Nate Brown is still limited with a groin, another senior wide receiver. So now you're relying on freshmen and Jalen Knox and Cam Scott. And guys like Jonathan Johnson have got to step up and have got to catch the ball. So does Albert Okwuegbunam's got to step up. And so it's got to be Missouri's got to figure out a way, Dan, to get back to where they can, have the vertical passing game as part of their arsenal, because they haven't been able to do that really in the last three games.
Yeah, when watching the games without Emmanuel Hall, it is eye-popping the difference that he can make with the offense. So like you said, other guys have to step up. But right now without him, it almost looks like a team that's in a state of flux offensively and just trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, I think Derek Dooley's got a pretty good handle. I think he's put guys in a position to make plays, but at the end of the day, guys will make plays. I mean, you've got to catch the football. You've got to be able to run the football effectively. Missouri was not able to run the football effectively against Alabama. But that doesn't surprise me, because, the struggles on defense was the focus of Nick Saban coming into that game. And guess what? On the defensive side, they played pretty well last Saturday night. So, got to get the run game going. Got to be able to hopefully find somebody that can make a play downfield for you. And then settle in and be good against the run, because Memphis is going to try and pound the football at you.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Memphis, they're averaging a nation's best 7.28 yards per carry. The Missouri run defense, though, has been, I guess, pretty good, solid, I would say. Maybe that's the key in this game this weekend. What do you think?
Well, you got to be able to control the point of attack, as in any game. And certainly up front, Missouri has been okay, defensively throughout the course of the season, particularly against the run. I think if you look at it, they're 25th in the country, allowing just 120 yards per game. They held Alabama to 4.1 per carry. Only three teams have been able to do that since 2016. So Memphis has got a home run hitter, a tailback, the nation's leading rusher in Darrell Henderson. Had 199 yards on a career high, 31 carries last week, had 115 yards against UCF in the first quarter. He's got 1,100 yards on the season, and he's averaging 10.3 yards per carry and 162 yards per game. He's got 10 rushing touchdowns this year, and he scored touchdowns in 10 consecutive games. So he's a guy that can score from literally any place on the field when he touches the football. So what does that mean? Got to be sound up front, gap control, gap integrity, and then you got to have multiple guys running to the football. Because he's not a big guy, Dan. He's like 5'9", 200 pounds, but he's got great breakaway speed.
You know what's interesting? I was looking at the SEC. The SEC East looks to be back, doesn't it, with some of the resurgent teams that we've seen now in this side of the conference?
Yeah, I don't know if back is a fair statement, because top to bottom, the West would probably still be better. But I just look at the league overall, and someone asked me earlier today, kind of break down the league, and I think Alabama's clearly at the top of the league. I think Georgia and probably LSU are right there, and you can say LSU, Georgia. And then after that, I think it's just a bunch of also-rans, if you will, taking nothing away from Auburn, taking nothing away from Mississippi State. Have both been in the top 20 this year. I just look at the rest of the conference, and Florida, of course, is playing very, very well right now and doing a good job, Dan Mullen in his first year. after that, I just think there's a large gap between Alabama and the rest of the conference. Now we'll get a chance to see how large that gap is, a few weeks when Alabama's got to go to LSU. An interesting road trip too for Alabama this week. It's the third Saturday in October, so that means it's the traditional rivalry game in Knoxville this year against Tennessee. Tennessee is playing better. I tend to look at the East and look at the rest of Missouri's schedule and say, okay, you got Memphis, and then you're home against Kentucky. Kentucky, you know, is much better than they were a year ago, and they continue to show marked improvement each and every season. Under Mark Stoops. And then you've got Tennessee and Florida still to come on the schedule, along with Vanderbilt and Arkansas. And, you know, Arkansas had a chance to win a week ago, but they didn't. So, each and every game from this point forward, I think they're all fourth quarter ball games for this Mizzou team.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Tennessee looks to be, you're not really sure what you're going to get, but they had that upset at Auburn. And obviously that catches your attention. Mike, what is homecoming like for you after all these years? Is it still fun? Is it still exciting?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get into much of the things that surround it. I mean, I will go 0, and I think this will be 0-25 in terms of making the homecoming parade.
Why not, Mike? Get in that homecoming parade.
Yeah, it goes right by the hotel downtown, and I see them starting to line up in the morning, and usually I have other things I'd rather do. But, more power to everybody that's involved. For me, it's just a matter of, it's just another game. It really is. I mean, it's another work day, and you know that really well. I mean, it's like, you show up, go to work, you do your job, and go from there. And this Saturday is a little bit different because Conzo Martin's team will be kind of unveiled, if you will, in a public setting after the football game. It's the Mizzou Madness events with both the men's and women's basketball programs. And Robin Pinchton's got another really good team. So it's going to be a full Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to ask you as we wrap it up. We had talked before we decided to do this that you were going to visit with Conzo this weekend. And I know Missouri fans that are tuned into this, they're excited about the basketball season as well. Just your general impressions of the guys that he has coming back and the others that he brought into the program.
Well, I think they added talent, particularly on the wings. I think Torrance Watson, the kid from Whitfield here in St. Louis, is going to get a chance to play a lot of minutes early. I think Missouri goes as its guards will go. And Jordan Geist, I know he's a really, really hard worker. There's a lot on his shoulders, particularly as a senior, to play under control, to be a playmaker, to get his guys involved. Xavier Pinson's a guy that comes in from Chicago, kind of a slight build, but, will be called upon to play a lot of minutes. But, to me, the most important thing for Missouri, aside from the guards, is, Jeremiah Tillman's got to be able to stay on the floor, and Jonte Porter's got to be a man among boys. And, this will be interesting to see how Jonte plays this season, because it's the first time in his career that he doesn't have to defer to his older brother. And even with Michael out a year ago, I still sense that Jonte wasn't ready to take games over because of he was a kid that should be a senior in high school. He's a freshman in college. I still thought that from an attitude standpoint, he was still kind of deferring a bit. But based on everything that I've heard is that, right now he's playing at a different level than anybody else in that program, and that's something that Missouri desperately needs.
Final question, Mike, and I know we're talking football, but primarily here, but with a basketball question. Michael Porter, what did hit? He was hurt. It wasn't the year that everybody anticipated. He goes to the NBA, but still, you had a guy that is one of the top players in the country go to Mizzou. What do you think that did for the program?
Well, put it back on the map from a national standpoint. Had people talking about the program from a national standpoint, sold a lot of tickets. So from a financial standpoint, his decision to attend Missouri was a win at the box office, because for the first time ever since the arena was built, Missouri sold out its season tickets at Mizzou Arena. So that's a direct credit to not only a new head coach, but certainly a guy like Michael Porter Jr. Committing to play for Missouri. I think it allowed Missouri to recruit a few players that they may not have been able to get, Jonte being one. Again, he was committed to the University of Washington, did so, I think, as a high school sophomore. You know, I look at other guys that Missouri was able to bring in, and I think Michael Porter's, you know, time in Missouri, even though it was short of memories and shy of production, and short on production, I should say, it's certainly, you know, made an impact on not only the budget of the athletic department because of the ability to sell tickets, but also in the, I think, profile of the program, you know, in terms of being talked about on the national stage, but also being able to recruit on that basis.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here. Big things are happening at Schnucks, especially in October. This month, you'll start to see Schnucks stores popping up all over the city. Living in St. Louis, you know Schnucks is committed to the communities they serve. Now, there will be 19 new Schnucks stores in neighborhoods all around town. You'll also notice that prices are falling, and your points will be piling up with the Schnucks Rewards app. So check out a new store near you. Come say hello. Visit Schnucks.com for the full list of new stores. See you at Schnucks. Mike, before I let you go on a personal note, you invited me to go play in the Segs for Vets golf tournament, which you helped start, and it's a passion of yours. You're to be commended. It does just amazing work for our disabled military vets that come home. Describe what Segs for Vets is, if you will, please, and how people can get involved. And again, you're to be congratulated for what you've done.
Well, thank you for the kind words. It's always great to hang out with you, and I had a great time the week before at your golf tournament at Norwood Hills, and you have done a terrific job with that venture in terms of raising a lot of money for those in need. So I commend you for that. But Segs for Vets is a unique grassroots charity that was founded by my dear friend, Jerry Kerr. Jerry was a successful home builder in St. Louis, broke his neck in a diving accident in the late 90s, was diagnosed as a C3 non-complete spastic quadriplegic. And what that means is that Jerry can stand. Jerry has limited mobility, but he does have some use of his hands and of his legs. He can shuffle. He found out early on, several years after he had his accident, that a Segway made a difference in his life. He came together with a few other folks that were Segway enthusiasts and said, you know, we've got these this war going on in two fronts. We've got these people that are coming back with a significant loss in their mobility. What can we do to return mobility to their lives? And that is basically the concept in which Segs for Vets was created. Back, I think our first award went out in like maybe 2007, something like that. First presentation was in Washington, D.C. We have done presentation ceremonies and probably known more in cities like San Diego, San Antonio, and D.C. because of the number of events that we've done at the Alamo, at the Marine Corps Memorial in Arlington. And then we've done it on board, the Midway in San Diego. Probably better known as an organization than right here in St. Louis. And so that's why, you know, a few years ago we came together and said we have to be able to build our brand and create identity for this charity in the St. Louis market. And so we started doing the golf event out of Persimmon Woods, and it's been a very, very it's been a good thing over the course of the last 3 years. We've raised a lot of money and been able to really, you know, get the charity into the eyes of many. And, I commend you, Dan, and the folks at Fox Sports Midwest and the St. Louis Cardinals, because, as you know, for the last several years, we've been able to do an event and present Segways to some of our Wounded Warriors at a Cardinal game. You've been very gracious, as have the folks at Fox Sports Midwest, in terms of allowing Jerry to be on the air and tell our story. Certainly the folks with the Cardinal Radio Network as well, Mike Shannon, John Rooney, and Carol, et cetera. So it's been an organization that's been fun to be a part of. And I got to tell you, it's I use the word unique grassroots operation. We have volunteers from literally all over the country. We have volunteers that will take vacation time just to be a part of our events. That's pretty significant. But, you know, we all come together really, you know, under the framework of trying to do what's right in terms of helping restore mobility to those that have done so much for us as a country. I mean, we have a member of our board, Colonel Barney Barnum, who is a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, And he says it best. I think he frames it correctly when he says, you know, the men and women of our military go down to the recruiting station, they put their left hand on the Bible and they raise their right hand, and they volunteer to play a road game so we can enjoy our home games. And so if you think about what they do under the guise of defending freedom, that's the least we can do in terms of trying to give back to them. I mean, the one thing as a country that we're well suited for, I mean, the advancement in battlefield medicine allows these individuals, and in Vietnam, they die. I mean, they die. I mean, we're talking about a loss of limbs, terrific loss of blood. You know, they die in Vietnam, but because of advancements in battlefield medicine, they're able to survive. Well, now as a country, it's incumbent upon us to be able to help them when they come back. And that's what Sex for Vets tries to do.
You know, it was amazing. And it just never gets old, but you were introducing some of the wounded warriors that were in their segues. And I don't know if you caught it or not, but there was a gentleman there with missing both his legs and limited mobility with one arm, with his wife and young baby. And I had tears in my eyes, Mike, as you were introducing those that had been recipients of the segues. I don't know how you keep it together, but it is amazing what you and Jerry have been able to do in Segs for Vets. It's just amazing.
Well, it's not just Jerry and I, and it's mostly Jerry and others, and I'm just happy to kind of ride their coattails and be a part of the events. But you know, again, we thrive because the American public thinks that this is an important cause, and have joined in our mission. None of us, when we got involved with this, ever envisioned that, you know, in 2018 we'd still be doing this. We thought somebody may take over the organization, a governmental body, something like that. But it's something that has become very important to all of us. We have great support from not only the military, but great support from a variety of different organizations across this country. If people want to learn more, go to SEGS4VETS.org, SEGS4VETS.org, and you can learn more about this wonderful St. Louis-based charity.
Congratulations, Mike, and have fun this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Love you, brother. Take care.
Thanks.